With Montana news, I'm Cole Grant. Montana Democrats launched a double salvo against Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte this week. Today, they sent the media an audio clip from 14 years ago of the Bozeman businessman advocating for a sales tax in front of then-Governor Judy Martz's Income Tax Advisory Council. At a campaign event in April, Gianforte said he now doesn't think Montana should have a sales tax, a point his campaign emphasized again today. Democrats also went after Gianforte's business record. On Monday, they criticized his application for 66 foreign worker visas over a 10-year period. Eric Hires, campaign manager for Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, says Gianforte is running on his business record, but has a history of eliminating jobs at his company, Right Now Technologies. Gianforte has denied those claims and says Democrats have admitted in the past that they're inaccurate. Democrats made similar attacks during the 2012 election, when a former Right Now vice president was running for Congress. Gianforte sued over the comments, but dropped the lawsuit when the Democratic Party issued an apology. Hires says the current criticisms are different than those made in 2012. A federal judge has ordered former luxury real estate mogul Tim Blixeth to pay $286 million to creditors of a Montana club for the ultra-rich that he's accused of fleecing for personal gain. It's the latest turn in a years-long chase after the assets of the founder of the Yellowstone Club near Big Sky. Blixeth diverted hundreds of millions of dollars from a 2005 Credit Suisse loan to the club. Montana is getting a $2 million federal grant to help clear its backlog of so-called rape kits. Attorney General Tim Fox made the announcement today. He says it will allow the state crime lab to process 1,100 boxes of evidence in sexual assault cases dating back to 1995. Testing the kits could result in suspects being identified in some unsolved rape cases. Tim Fox.
We look forward to ensuring unsubmitted sexual assault kits in Montana are tested, to helping bring closure to a horrific event in the lives of survivors, to serving justice to perpetrators, and to protecting our citizens.
In December, Montana's Department of Justice surveyed local law enforcement agencies and found they had 1,400 untested evidence kits. The FBI is going to test 300, and the grant announced today will allow the state to send the remaining 1,100 to outside labs for testing. It's expected that it will take up to 18 months to test all the kits. Fox says four people will be hired as part of the three-year project. Grant money will also be used to produce a field guide outlining policies and procedures for sexual assault investigations. An unanticipated surge in prisoner numbers means Montana's Department of Corrections has gone over budget and will likely have to ask state lawmakers for more money in the 2017 legislative session. The Legislative Finance Committee heard that in today's budget update. The budget lawmakers passed last year projected that the state would need to pay county jails to house 250 prisoners that there's no room for in the state prison system. Legislative fiscal analyst Greg DeWitt said that projection turned out to be far too low.
2016's actual daily population was 382. And through July, the trend is even worse. It's 399 average daily population.
The state's rate for housing prisoners is $69 a day, although that can vary slightly based on the jail. The higher prisoner numbers mean that the Department of Corrections went $2 million over its budget for housing prisoners in county jails. And that means the department is likely to ask for a supplemental appropriation in the next legislative session, DeWitt said, but he cannot offer a specific dollar figure. A first-of-its-kind training and intervention program for veterans celebrated its grand opening in Missoula today. The Rural Institute for Veterans Education and Research, RIVER for short, helps vets reintegrate back into civilian life after their military service ends. Executive Director Ed Lesofsky.
Just like when they went into the military, it took a while to learn how to become a military person. They have to relearn what society is all about, and that's part of what we do.
Counseling and crisis intervention services are also available. The Institute was approved for GI Bill funding through the Office of Public Instruction. Superintendent of Public Instruction Denise Juno says that allows vets to use their benefits to pay for training programs at River.
It's a real benefit to particularly rural Montana. They were just telling me that they have people out in Culbertson that have been trained now, and so providing real life-saving techniques and being able to provide real services to veterans across this state.
Institute officials say there's no other program like it in the United States. Montana's minimum wage will increase by 10 cents starting next year. A little over 1% of Montana's workforce receives minimum wage, which is currently $8.05 an hour. Montana's Labor and Industry Commission says that, nationwide, over half of minimum wage earners are over the age of 25, and in Montana, over 60% are women. Last year, the top two industries working for minimum wage were the accommodations and food industry, followed by retail trade. Among the most common minimum wage earners are servers, cashiers, bartenders, and retail salespeople. Yellowstone National Park administrators appear to have lost ground on a 2009 pledge to minimize cell phone access in backcountry areas. Signal coverage maps for two of Yellowstone's five cell phone towers show calls can now be received in large swaths of the park's interior, such as the Lamar Valley. The maps were obtained by a Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant.